Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, welcome to a remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Samora Pinderhughes is a pianist, singer, composer, and activist. He seems to know no musical borders. He's worked with rappers like Common, jazz greats like Branford Marsalis, and he wrote this music for Carnegie Hall. Samora's music deals less with genre and more with ideas. His Transformation Suite, for example, deals with the Black Lives Matter movement and prison reform, and has been performed all over the country. Today, Samora Pinderhughes joins us solo, at the piano, to play a couple of standalone songs, beginning with this one, called Stare Straight Ahead.
Stare straight ahead, don't pay no mind to the dead. Don't pay no mind, they're just waiting for you to pass. Stare straight ahead, let's play a game of pretend. Said let's play a game and just say that life moves too fast. I've been struggling, said I've been hustling now. I need more than two packs and big submarines. Will you be there when it's been 2 weeks and the crowd's gone home and it's cool to leave? Or stay in your house while they clean the streets, cleaning up people like me. New is the best, let's all forget those who left. They ran out of time and they couldn't afford the rent. Street is my bed, treat me like I'm all that's bad. You should feel the shame, you try living inside a bag. Stare straight ahead, let's play a game of pretend. Said stare straight ahead, treat me like I'm all that's bad. Yeah, people with problems, I'm on the ledge. Maybe it's all in my head. Act like you're not afraid of me when let's play opposite. You paid a lot for it now. A high-rise apartment, a job in New Markets might last you the year. Now it's your neighborhood, ain't it? You wanna make it good, paint it, make it plain, you changed the name, now you saved it. Stare straight ahead, let's play a game of pretend. Let's play a game and just say that life moves too fast. Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. Oh, please give me shelter.
That is Samora Pinderhughes with Stare Straight Ahead, and a live performance as he joins me on this edition of Soundcheck. And Samora, first of all, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Stare Straight Ahead, is that a new song?
Yes, it's a song I wrote sometime last year in 2020. It hasn't been released yet, actually. It's a part of a new project, but... yes, it's relatively recent, definitely in response to, you know, the last year of observations on my part.
Right. As so much of your music is, you know, responding to the tenor of the times. And one of the things about this song is it could be about almost anyone who's on the margins of society, whether you're talking about racial inequality or gentrification, you know, people who've been shunted to the margins. That seems to be a continuing theme in a lot of your work.
Definitely. I also appreciate that observation in the sense that I actually do intentionally try to write music in a way where, although I often have a very particular subject in mind or character, I try to be at once very specific with that, but also open enough that many people can find their ways into it from different angles while still being very clear about what the perspective is in the ways that you're talking about. So yes, I definitely think that, I mean, obviously I wrote that song definitely from the perspective of a houseless individual. It was just based off of my experiences. Originally I'm from the Bay Area, in which gentrification, as you mentioned, is rampant. I now live in New York City, and just riding the subways, definitely pre-pandemic. I think that the song, you know, really took on even a different tenor in the context of this moment, because people really are even more like avoiding each other, you know? And so even before that, you know, the song really came from this weird thing of people, you know, how they react towards houseless people and don't treat them as human beings. So it kind of came out of that. But as you said, it can speak to a lot of different possibilities.
Right. It doesn't feel as if you're fusing social activity and musical activity. It feels like they're coming from the same place for you. And I guess I'm wondering, if we could step back a little bit, are you from a musical family? I mean, I know Elena Pinderhughes is your sister, right? The jazz flutist?
Yes, that's my younger sister, yes. Yes, it's funny. You know, I mean, obviously, Elena is a genius, and she is my younger sister, and we grew up playing together, but our parents do not play music. I would say that they're very musical. I was actually going through some early childhood tapes. My mom was wonderful enough to actually, you know, record moments from my childhood, and I was watching it back, and I was really struck by how much music was always on. So even though my parents weren't musicians per se, they were very musical, and they were always infusing our household with music. So that's actually kind of changed my perspective to that question, where usually in the past I would be like, oh no, you know, who knows where it comes from. Actually watching that, it's very clear where it comes from.
So this kind of organic way of bringing social activity, you know, your role as an activist and your role as a musician into a single entity. How did that happen? When did that happen?
Yeah, I think you really got it in the sense of saying that for me, they're not disconnected, and that it really isn't about putting the two things together for me, but it's really that they exist as a part of one another. And it's interesting because I feel like I understand that more and more as I get older. I think for a long time, I kind of bought into the narrative that I got this from this place and this from this other place. And, you know, there is a part of that, you know, I was named after Samora Michelle, who was the head of the anti-colonialist liberation army in Mozambique. He was a Marxist, you know, and was assassinated by the United States and the South African apartheid government. So that's who I'm named after. So it's very clear that, you know, I come from out of a lineage, both spiritually and like very much within my material family, that's really, I would call them, you know, freedom fighters. I would call them people that are committed to liberation, committed to solidarity with oppressed people, not just in this country, but internationally. There's definitely a part of it that comes from that. But now I'm really realizing that the artistic practice is that, both in the sense that I think art is a foundational part of movement building and of all those spaces, and that all the artists I idolized growing up, from Fela Kuti to Nina Simone to Miriam Makeba to, all these different folks, Harry Belafonte, they were all in that tradition. But it's also that I'm now hearing the music everywhere. Like I'm studying right now the musicality and vocality of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King in terms of their actual, the sonority of their speaking voices, not even the rhetoric, like the words, but how it sounds. And, you know, they're very intentional about how they work through and on all of that stuff. And so there's a lot to learn there, for sure.
Yeah. So sort of following on from that, when you sing, your vocal presentation is often, you know, you're not belting, you know, you're not planting a flag and climbing that hill. You're sort of gently urging, reminding, casting a wistful glance at the way things are. That seems to be your approach, rather than MLK, Malcolm X, Obama, you know, to kind of gently push from behind rather than to, as I say, you know, mount the barricades.
Yeah, I mean, you know, truth be told, listen, if I could do it, I would. I mean, a lot of it is just, you know, you got to be who you are. I mean, one of the things is that, and this is not necessarily something I'm intentional about, it's just a matter of timing, but I'm not trained in the voice as I am in the piano or even as a composer. I haven't ever taken lessons. I started singing as an accident, sort of. Not necessarily as an accident, but I started to sing because I love to write words, yeah. You know, because I loved the craft of songwriting, and I had some things to say that couldn't be said solely through just the instrumental music. I think for me, it's just a conduit for the honesty I try to bring through the lyrics.
You know, this is reminding me of your take on the national anthem, the Star-Blooded Work song, where towards the end, you do hear a voice mounting the barricade and leading the troops forward, but it's not yours, it's Frederick Douglass.
I can't breathe in the home of the slave. All the land of my need in the home of the pain in the home of the
time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would...
The way that you weave your lyrics, your adapted lyrics, and this kind of imported set of lyrics, I guess we could call it, in this context, is really kind of, you know, I find that really telling just in the context of this conversation.
Yes. I mean, that's definitely a part of my, I don't know what I would call it, my ethic or my concept. I don't know. It's something that recurs throughout my work is I'm very intentional about knowing that I'm in call and response always with the Black radical tradition, with my people that I'm working with. I never make really anything by myself, and as most of us never, I mean, no artist really does.
Right.
I'm always calling upon my influences and upon, you know, the collaborators around me. So I want to be very transparent about how that's happening, that the ideas, yeah, they almost never actually come from me. I'm just a conduit for some of them.
I want to come back to the idea of influences in a couple of minutes, but first I want to give people a chance to hear another of your songs. Gatsby is from the larger collection called Venus.
Obviously, Gatsby, I love the book. It's very interesting to look at a story from the early 1900s about a person that's like, I'm literally just going to make up everything about who I am. And then to be in a obviously a time period where it's like, yeah, you could do that. Like, very easily. People are just making things up all the time. So Gatsby, as the song for me, was about putting myself in the character of somebody that knows they're doing that and has gone so deep that it's like, I don't know if I can come back now. Like, I don't know if this might just be what it is now, you know? Yeah. And that for me was a very interesting thing to look into.
Yeah, he knows it can't continue, but he's going to keep living the same way.
Listen, yeah.
Yeah. Let's hear the song. It's called Gatsby, and it's music, a live performance from my guest, Samora Pinderhughes.
Built a castle out of dreams and pretty scenes. I woke up and it was missing. It wasn't real. It wasn't real. I loved a woman who turned out to be an ideal thing. Woke up and she was different. Oh well, it was real. It was real. I've been saying things I don't believe and doing things that just ain't me. Or is me? Been knowing that this can't continue, but I keep on living the same way. But you didn't know me then. I wasn't nobody's friend. I wanted what all men want. To be in good company, to run around breaking things and never think about fixing. Can't let it go now, won't let it go. I've been living the type of life I see in movies. It's unsustainable. I've been practicing on a new accent, new stories. Might be more relatable. How did I end up with the same damn clothes on? Thought I was so individual. Went to the east, made sure to take some pictures. You know it's all about the visuals. Pretty, pretty thing. I can't be no other way. Or is it me? been knowing that this can't continue, but I keep on living the same way.
That is Gatsby, live performance by Samora Pinder Hughes. Joining us from where? Are you in, you're in LA?
I'm in LA right now, yes.
What are you doing there?
I actually am not allowed to say what I'm technically involved in, but I am recording music, which is very special because, you know, I haven't been able to do that with other people for a long time. So
yeah,
I'm grateful to be here. Yeah.
Gatsby, the name of the song you just did, and I said before we heard it that I wanted to come back to this idea of influence because, you know, there's definitely a jazz element to a lot of what you do, but you have classical piano training, right?
I have very little classical piano training. I shout out to my high school classical piano teacher, Ladine Atsuki. She's amazing. And she hooked me up because I did not grow up playing, you know, I started playing piano when I was 7. I did not study classically, but she was an incredible teacher and she really helped me out. And then when I went to Juilliard, I didn't study classical piano after that, but I studied with an amazing classical composition teacher whose name is Kendall Briggs, who he really changed my life. Like he changed my life with his teaching. So that was kind of the most influential composition lessons that I've had.
Yeah. And then there's the pop world, you know, which you move very easily in and which I'm going to imagine you're out there for right now since you can't say anything. I mean, that's not a classical music thing, Samora. but, you know, and again, this sort of comes back to what we were talking about earlier. There isn't a real sense of I'm going to fuse classical and jazz and pop. It's just, you know, it's a single musical language that you've developed now over the course of a number of years. So that idea of influence and working through influence and finding your way to your own voice, how long did that take you?
That's a great question. It took me a really long time. It took me a really long time because I had to be very, when my parents would play music in the house, it was every type of music you could think of. And it wasn't even just American music, it was international. You know, I feel like I can move in all different type of directions. And for me, it's less about what kind of lane I'm in or something. And it's just really more about the questions I'm interested in. That's really what I've realized is guiding me. And then it's also the people, as far as the collaborations. When it's my projects, it's the questions. It's what I want, what do I wanna, it's narratively like, what do I want to investigate? What do I feel is important to talk about? And then it's also musically like, what is going to challenge me in this next project? Like, you know, for this, the next thing, you know, that I just did was with string quartet. Cause I always wanted to write for string quartet, but it's like, I didn't, you know, I just had to dive into it and figure it out. And that was a process that I just love to learn really when it comes to it. I'd love to get challenged and I'd love to learn.
You mentioned working with string quartet. Was that for Grief, the project you did for Carnegie Hall?
It started as a part of this Grief project, yes. And then I also wrote some more string parts for an upcoming collaboration with the poet Joshua Bennett, which hopefully will come out later this year.
All right. Well, Grief was part of Carnegie's Voices of Hope series. Are you optimistic? You know, I mean, you've written about some pretty heavy things. I guess you have to maintain a sense of hope to not feel overwhelmed by it all.
I think my honest perspective is that I am overwhelmed every day. But I've realized that it doesn't do anything to only sit inside of that, because you're needed. So it doesn't do anything for anyone else for me to just sit inside of that and be like, you know, I have to turn that into something that's actually useful because I'm needed, as we all are. So the reality is, I don't know how hopeful I am. I think one of the things that is very difficult is to see cyclical processes where things are happening again and again. At the same time, I think what does give me hope is that I feel like I'm starting to see that as things do come up, more and more people are coming to, you know, to the cause, and more people are raising their voices, feeling compelled to actually step up. I don't know how long that process will take, and it's hard to kind of build on that when the urgency is so great. But I think you just kind of have to step into the middle of it and do what you can do.
Well, you know, nothing is more cyclical than the cycle of war and killing that is the topic of this next song, Kill War, originally from Black Spring, right?
Yes, Black Spring EP, yes.
There's some pretty chromatic piano playing here.
Actually comes from, it's a deep study of inner voicings and like trying to get deep into that on the piano. That actually originated with one of my teachers at Juilliard, the amazing genius pianist Frank Kimbrough, who unfortunately passed away this year. He was a real a mentor to me, an amazing teacher. And he was the first person that hit me to like, the outside parts and the melodies and different things, the bass part is more like stating the static kind of elements, frameworks of the song, but the inner voices is where the tension is happening, and so that's kind of what I was trying to deal with.
All right, let's hear the song. Live performance by Samora Pinderhughes of a song called Kill War.
Hey, hey, haven't you heard? It's time to go to time to settle the score. What else can I do with all this hate you put inside me? What else can I do but kill the things that seem alive? Give me a weapon, give me a couple lessons. I can't even feel it feel water in my eyes.
Kill War is the name of that live performance by Samora Pinderhughes at the piano and singing. And we were talking before, Samora, about grief, you know, the project you did for Carnegie Hall. We were also talking about influences. And I noticed in the closing credits for Grief, the online version, there's a series of thank yous, which begins with Vijay Iyer, with whom you're studying now at Harvard.
Yes. Yes. Amazing mentor.
Yeah. An amazing pianist, composer, who amazing also pianist. Moves very easily between the worlds of all these different musical styles. So I wasn't surprised to see Vijay's name there. I was a little surprised to see Tom York and Björk in rapid succession.
That's not people. Tom York is like my voice hero. Like, he's really... He's a really, really big influence on me, as well as same, you know, Johnny Greenwood, the whole crew. And Björk, I mean, same, like, I'm always my resolve is always strengthened to be unique whenever I listen to her. Like, she just does her, you know, she just sounds like what she wants to sound like, and it's done with so much care and detail and just like emotion. I think the through line between those artists that you maybe can tell is like, I love artists that are very emotional. I'm not like, you know, I mean, it's not to say I don't like artists that are just like making songs for the party or whatever, but like, I kind of gravitate to the artists that are very like poor, you know, mm-hmm. take my heart and put it on the table kind of artists, you know?
Well, you've got, as ever, many, many different irons in the fire. I guess the immediate one is Grief, which, you know, the Carnegie Hall piece, which is going to be released in June.
Yes. Yes. The film piece will be released on YouTube, and then we will also be releasing some of the songs as singles and eventually as an album.
All right. We'll look for that. Samora Pinderhughes, thank you so much for being with us and playing for us today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I have to say, on one note, this is very special for me because my grandfather, who's a born and bred New Yorker, unfortunately has passed away now, but I used to live with him. We were very close, and he would listen to WNIC. So I this means a lot to me to be a part of this.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you very much.
He's smiling down.
Watch the videos of Samora's performances for us. They're on our YouTube channel and right here on the website, newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. Our video editor is David McLean. And I'm John Schaefer.